aren't freshmen anymore, and we're starting to get some secondary scoring. Ryan Fern's starting to heat up a little bit. CJ scored another goal, so Blake Yettle continues to do well. So we're going to have some depth, and I think that's going to be real exciting, and we're going to be a tough team to just check one line going forward.
8:47, the time of Michigan Tech's second goal to take the lead. Ryan Fern, his second goal of the weekend, sixth of the season.
Huskies with control, Stepner with a shot, throws loose puck, scores! Ryan Fern on the rebound, able to put it into the empty net, and the Huskies take a 2-1 lead with 11:13 left to go in the second period.
Brad Stepner and Reed Sturrows get the assists on that goal. 8:47, Ryan Fern's sixth of the season, second of the weekend. That was a big goal.
Big goal, big goal. We finally did a good job at the offensive blue line, and that's one area we're going to have to continue to get better at. Our defensemen are going to have to continue to help us offensively there. The way teams are now, you know, they put so much pressure down low and they collapse, so it leaves your defensemen open on the offensive blue line. We have to be able to get shots through, to find sticks, shoot the puck, you know, with some authority and get our head up. And that's an area that we have to get better at. And this was a prime example of that. Brad Stepner just takes a good hard wrist shot, no big windup, gives himself an angle to the net, and obviously Ryan Fern standing all alone and gets a rebound and puts it in, which was a big goal and, you know, gave us some momentum that I thought we would really take off from there.
We give up a goal then in that second period. They have the wrong time on their score sheet here, but I think it was just a minute or two later. Am I right on that, Coach?
Yeah, I think it was just a little bit more than a minute,
okay.
Which, you know, was disappointing.
Yeah. Colin Campbell gets his seventh of the season. The tie it up 2-2.
Faceoff deep inside the Michigan Tech end. To the left of Jamie Phillips getting the start tonight. Here's a chance for the Lakers in front. Shot saved by Phillips. Rebound, they score!
It just looked like there were, you know, it's hard for me to tell sometimes where everybody's supposed to be, but it looked like we weren't in the right space.
Yeah, we got caught out of position. We had two of our players actually run into each other. We went for a big hit. We missed, ran into our defenseman, knocked him down, and which created outnumbered opportunity for them down at our net. And we've done a good job on that line all weekend. You know, Campbell's a real good player. He's a senior. You know, he's got a chance to play at the next level also. Very good player. Obviously, Globke's a big, strong freshman, but you know, we did a good job on that line. That's our top line, and we held them each to, I think Campbell had the only goal on that line, which is great. But I didn't like the timing of the goal. It was a face-off in our zone, and we have to do a better job in that situation.
That was the scoring in the second period. Shots in the second period dominated by Michigan Tech again, 20-9 in period number two. So we go to the third. We're all tied 2-2. A must win, really, for the Huskies. That 20 minutes was so important, and we were able to win it. Tanner Carroll gets the game winner at the 17:52 mark of the period. Carroll's seventh of the season, and this gave the Huskies the win.
Leibinger back inside of his own zone. Sends it around, and the Huskies now can make a rush of it as Sturrows will bring it up the right wing. He's got Fern coming in late. Sturrows with a shot. Blocker save. Puck goes high in the air. Fern knocks it down, trying to make the play, and now we'll take it from the corner. Fern and Sturrows look a little bit gassed out there. Slippery pass, and a score! Tanner Carroll with the goal. Short side on Kapelka, and a great pass from behind the net by Sturrows, and the Huskies take a late third period lead, 3-2 with 2:08 remaining.
You could tell I wasn't sure it went in. Tanner Carroll wasn't sure it went in because there's so much of Kapelka blocking the net, and right. It just kind of squeaked through there.
Well, it was a bang-bang play.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, Reed Sturrows did a great job. It was a end of a shift.
They were tired.
The puck had been laid into their zone, and Reed did a real good job. Their defense was also tired, and, you know, he won the race, won the battle, and, you know, anytime you get the puck, we've talked about this behind the net, you know, it's a hard situation because now the goalie's got to, you know, try to find out where that puck is behind the net, and we caught Kapalka looking a little bit, but it was such a bang-bang play. That's what I like about it. Tanner didn't waste any time. Mm-hmm. It was a quick pass, quick shot, and it didn't really give him any time to react or to get out of his net. He caught him back in the net, and that's why I think nobody could really tell if the puck went in the net. It went in and out so quick also. There was
Did it come out?
Oh, it did.
I didn't
bang,
see
bang.
It come out.
Yeah, it was bang, bang. I mean, it was in and out, you know, quick. And big goal, huge goal. We had a real good third period. I mean, we had some great scoring opportunities in that third period, and I can't tell you how big the goal is. Now, this is the game of hockey. Mm-hmm. They get the break at about, or we get a break at about the 8-minute mark. They get a shot from the point.
Right.
Hits the posts, you know, mm-hmm. referees right by the net, and he signals goal. And I'm so happy there's a video replay. Obviously, he goes up, and it's clear that never goes in. Just hits the post to almost that elbow part where the crossbar meets the post. Mm-hmm. And you could tell the way it hit and came down that it wasn't in the net. But nonetheless, they got it right. But it's a game of inches. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a game of inches. That would have put them into the lead at 3-2 with 8 minutes to go. Who knows what would happen. But no goal. We come down and score, you know, a few minutes later. And win, like you mentioned, you know, not a must-win game, but I think a must-win game in the terms if we want to be in the hunt for home ice in the playoffs.
Right.
That was a big game. So,
Huskies win it. Final shots in the third period, 15-8 in favor of Michigan Tech. Final shots in the game, 51-29. That's 93 shots on the weekend. And the Huskies are only able to muster 5 goals, so we're getting the chances, just got to get more pucks to
play. Well, good chances, too, Dirk. Yeah. Not just, like I talked to you after the show, not just, you know, our guys dumping the puck in and changing, and it happens to go on net, so you get a shot on goal. I mean, really good scoring opportunities, from breakaways to two-on-ones to, you know, we hit the quiet spot, the slot area, really good all weekend, and a lot of good things coming offensively. We're working on that. It's a work in progress. We'll continue to work, and like I said, now we're starting to see some secondary scoring. You know, you got C.J. Eich ahead of his goal total last year. You got Tanner Carroll's getting hot. You got Blake Pietilä now starting to, you know, rack up some points, and I think the goals will come. You know, Alex Patan continues to play well offensively. Michael Neville is starting to, you know, create some opportunities with his speed, and he's just got to make sure he hits the net. He's just
Are you surprised he's only had 2 goals?
Yeah, right, because he creates great opportunities with his speed, and he's hungry, and he's always around the net. But he's missing the net. He's going high and hard every time. And now Reed doesn't have a goal, and he's creating chances. So once they start to score and having David back, I think, you know, we're going to be able to put out 4 strong lines every game, every night, and we're going to start to get some secondary scoring, and I believe our power play, I feel really good about our power play going forward this second half, and it just could be one player. It could just be a guy like David Johnstone that can make the difference.
We get back to a tie in the standings with Lake State University, tied for 4th now, again, in the WCHA standings, and that's why another reason why that game was so important.
Well, no question. I mean, the one thing we've been able to do is every series we've played this year is to come out with points. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important going forward. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Ferris this weekend, but we've got to find a way to come out of that series with points. Points are so valuable. If you can continue to rack up points, you know, whether on the road or home every weekend, at the end of the day, you're going to be in pretty good shape. You know, Lake Superior is a top 20 team, ranked 18th in the country, beat some very good teams this year. I believe outshot Ferris, even though they lost both games to Ferris, they outshot them, outplayed. I saw those tapes. You know, just before Christmas. So they're a good hockey team. So to go in there and steal a win, and I shouldn't say steal a win. I felt we deserved to win the game. But, you know, felt like we could have won both games.
Right,
but but so important, because now we have 2 games in hand on Bemidji, who is also tied for 4th. So standings are very tight. You know, Bowling Green's got a little separation from us now, but we have games in hand on them, and we play them again. We get to play Ferris 4 times. And you notice I say we get to play them 4 times. So, you know, and that's going to be a huge challenge for us, but a great opportunity also. So so we've got a tough schedule going forward, but we played a tough schedule, and that's why schedule those games early in the year in those tough buildings, and I think it's starting to pay off now as we go into these tough places, and we're going to have to go into Minnesota State, we're going to have to go into Ferris, we're going to have to go into Bowling Green, all teams ahead of us, so hopefully we're well-schooled and well-prepared for those games.
At all surprised about the Wildcats with the sweep this weekend, Coach?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Bemidji, you know, has, you know, a decent team, so a little bit surprised at home. Anytime a team gets swept at home, you're surprised because it's really hard to do that. But when you only give up 1 goal each night, you give your team a real good opportunity to win on the road. So, and that's what Northern did. It's all about defense with them right now, so they're not scoring many goals, but they're finding a way not to give up many, and they've got some talented players up front. So, but a huge weekend for them, and they put themselves right back in the hunt.
They have. They're just a point behind us in that cluster there. They are in 7th, just behind the cluster in 4th, and they only have played 12 games.
Yeah,
so
they got 2 games in hand on all those teams and 4 on Bemidji. So they put themselves in a good spot.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more of the Mel Pearson Show. Your questions coming up later in the show, too. If you have a question for Coach, email it to me right now, DJ@themix93.com. That's DJ@themix93.com. The Mel Pearson Show continues after these.
Sushi Tuesday at the Library Restaurant Brew Pub, now in its 7th year. Every Tuesday from 4 till 10 p.m. The sashimi-grade fish is flown in overnight from the world-famous Honolulu Fish Company in Hawaii, featuring the highest quality and freshest sashimi-grade fish available worldwide. Sushi